Okay, let's get cracking. Today we are finishing off the second parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Beis Mishnah Zayin, and then we're going to start the third parak of Maseches Shabbos with parak Gimel Mishnah Aleph. Parak Beis Mishnah Zayin is going to conclude our discussion, at least for now, of another halacha regarding the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neros Shabbos, of lighting the candles on Friday for Shabbos. Says the Mishnah, Shlosha Dvarim Tzarech Adam Lomar B'Zilch Beiso Erev Shabbos Im Chashecha. A person should say three things in his house to the members of his family on Erev Shabbos as it is getting ready to become dark, as Shabbos is about to begin. Number one, E Sartem, have you taken Trumos and Maestros from the food that we're going to be eating on Shabbos? The halacha is, like we learned in Seder Zroim, before a person is allowed to eat his food in Eretz Yisrael, you have to make sure that the Truma was separated for the Kohen, the Maaser Rishon was separated for the Levi. Some years you're giving Maaser Ani to the poor, other years you're giving Maaser Sheni and bringing that food to Yerushalayim. You have certain Trumos and Maasers that you have to take of your food before you eat them. However, you're not allowed to separate Trumos and Maasers on Shabbos itself. So it's important to remind everyone, Isartem, did you take the Trumos and Maasers already? Did you separate all of it already before Shabbos? The reason why you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos itself is because it is a tolda of Makeh B'Patish. It's sort of like one of the malachos of Shabbos is Makeh B'Patish, which basically means that you can't complete something, you can't finish something off, and the food was not able to be eaten before. Once you separate Trumos and Maestros, then it's finished off. It is able to be eaten and consumed, and therefore you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. It's like being Misaki in a Kli, it's like fixing something, which you can't do on Shabbos. So the first thing you have to remind your family is, have you taken the Trumos and Maestros already from all of the food that is going to be eaten on Shabbos? The second thing to remind your family, Eiravtem, have you made the Eruv? Do you make the Eruv before Shabbos as well? Now, there are two types of Eruvim that we refer to when it says Eruv. Number one is what we refer to as Eruv Tchumen, which is not, when we say Eruv, it's not typically what we refer to. But the first category of Eruv is Eruv Tchumen. And the halacha of Eruv Tchumen is that a person's, generally speaking, on Shabbos and Yom Tov, allowed to leave the town that he's in on a distance of 2,000 amos. You can't go more than that. You have to stay within the 2,000 amos surrounding your city. However, if you would like to go an extension, if you want to go to an additional 2,000 amos beyond that, what you have to do is you have to go to the at some point within 2,000 amos of the city, and you put food there. We'll learn about this a little bit later in terms of exactly what the halachos are of it, but in short, you put food there, and that food allows you to sort of make that into your rest stop, and it gives you an additional 2,000 amos. You have to choose exactly which direction you're going, and then you can use that as an extension of an additional 2,000 amos beyond the city limits of where your town is. So that is Erev, that's the Erev number one. And you have to make sure, again, remind everyone to do that before Shabbos begins. Erev number two is Eruvei Chatzeru. So the halacha is that if several houses share a chatzer, they share a courtyard, it's a rabbinically prohibited to move items from a house into the courtyard or vice versa on Shabbos. Because at the end of the day, a courtyard, a chatzer, is serving a number of houses, resembles a reshus harabim, a public area, a public domain, into which it is not allowed on a midaraisa level to carry. However, carrying between a house and a chatzer is permitted if one arranges an eruve chatzeros. An eruv chatzeros will allow you to carry from your house to the courtyard and vice versa. How is this done? So it's done by collecting some sort of a loaf of bread or something like that, a matzah, something like that before Shabbos from every house, and placing all the loaves into one of the houses. All of the courtyard's residents are now considered to be living in the house where the bread was placed, and therefore the courtyard is viewed as serving only that one house, and therefore no longer resembles a reshus harab, and you're allowed then at that point to carry from your home to the chatzer and vice versa. And this is all we have in a Carmelis, in the area in which we live. The Erev that we refer to as the Erev that allows you to carry outside is this type of Erev chatzeros, which is what we are referring to here. So when the Mishnah says you have to remind your family to do Erev, it's talking number one, if there's Erev Tchumen, if you want to go 2,000 amos beyond the initial 2,000 amos from your city. And number two, if you want to be able to carry from a chatzer, from a courtyard to your house or vice versa, you have to make sure to set up the Erev Chatzeros as well. The third thing that a person must remind his family on before Shabbos is Hidliku Asaner, make sure to light the Shabbos candles. It's important that that we make sure that that's done as well before Shabbos. When Shabbos starts, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to light them anymore. Okay, continuing now in the mission. The mission is about to discuss whether these and other activities may be done during Bein Hashmashos. Bein Hashmashos is the period which is referred to as twilight, the period in between Shkia, sunset, and Seis HaKochavim, which is the fervent night. That period is considered to be Bein Hashmashos. It's a little bit of a suffix of a doubt. Is it considered to be the day? Is it considered to be the night? It's sort of like in this gray area period. And we're going to discuss exactly what the halachos are for Shabbos during that time. Now, generally speaking, we assume that Shabbos begins at Shia, so you really shouldn't be doing any melachos, certainly at least on a Daraisa level, during that period of time. Says the Mishnah, Safek Chashecha, Safek Ein Chashecha. During this period of Bein Hashmashos on Friday, when we're unclear, so there's a doubt, is it considered to be night, or is it not yet considered to be night? And it's still considered to be day. Says the Mishnah, during this period of time of Bein Hashmashos, Ein Ma'asrin es Havadai, you're not allowed to separate Meiser, Trumos, or Meisros from Tevel, from something that we know for sure the Trumos and Meisros were not separated from. That you may not allowed to do, because that would be an Isser Midda Araisa. And anything that is either an Isser Midda Araisa, a Malacha on a Torah level, you're not allowed to do during Bein Hashmashos. And nearly anything even that resembles a mitzvah, an avera midda arayis, you're not allowed to do during Bein Hashmashos. So you can't separate meiser from, trumas or meisers from food that is tevel, because that would be the Torah prohibition of makeh bepatish, of completing the food while Shabbos has unofficially begun. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ve'in matbilin es hakelim, and you're not allowed to put your utensils, your vessels, in a mikvah to purify them from tumah as well. A tumah kli requires being placed and immersed in the mikvah in order for it to become tahor. This immersion is rabbinically forbidden on Shabbos because it's also sort of like repairing the utensil but making it fit for use. So this would be prohibited, and therefore you're not allowed to do it during that period of time. Continuing in the Mishnah, Ve'ein Madlikin es Haneros, and you certainly cannot light lamps as well. You can't light your neros, your candles as well during that period of time. That would be Nisr De'araisa of Havar of burning. You can't light a flame on Shabbos, and therefore, once Bein Hashmashos begins, you're no longer allowed to do that as well. However, says the Mishnah, Aval, but Ma'asr Nes HaDemai, during Bein Hashmashos, you may separate Ma'aser from Demai. Demai, like we learned previously, is food that was bought from an Amah Aretz. We're unclear, we don't know. Was a Meiser separated from it or not? So because it's only on a Durabanan level, so you're allowed to separate that during Bein Hashmashos, Me'arvin, and you can make an Erev Chatzeros to allow you to carry items on Shabbos to and from a shared courtyard. You can do that during Bein Hashmashos as well. At the end of the day, carrying in a chatzer is allowed on a Midda Araisa level. It was only rabbinically prohibited, and because it's rabbinically prohibited, it's Din Midda Rabbanan, so we're lenient during this period of Bein Hashmashos. Finishing off the Mishnah, Vitomnin es Hachamin, and you're allowed to insulate hot food so that it's going to remain hot on Shabbos as well. At a Midrabanan level, you're not allowed to insulate food on Shabbos because there is a concern that perhaps if the food cools off, you're going to heat it over a fire, which would be the malacha of bishul, which would be the malacha of cooking, which you're not allowed to do. However, there's no concern of bishul when it comes of the food cooling off and then you wanting to cook it up during Bein Hashmashos because the food was just cooked before Shabbos and it's usually still going to be hot at that time. Therefore, says the Mishnah that you're allowed to insulate as well during Bein Hashmashos because we're not concerned that a person is going to go ahead and heat up the food and commit the melacha of bishul during that time. Continuing now with Perek Gimel, Mishnah Aleph. One of the third nine melachos of Shabbos is Havara, is lighting any sort of flame, which you're not allowed to do on Shabbos. Now that doesn't only include lighting the fire to begin with, but it even means making an existing fire bigger, or even stirring the coals of a fire to make them burn more brightly, and so on and so forth. Now in order to prevent people from stirring coals on Shabbos, the rabbis prohibited putting any food over hot coals before Shabbos, and letting them remain there on Shabbos itself, because we're concerned that a person might come and stir the coals on Shabbos, which would be prohibited to do. So now the next two Mishnahs are going to discuss when this Gezeira Midrabanan applies and when it does not. It says the Mishnah Kira, Sheisikua Bekash Uvigvava. If there's a Kira, which is like a type of a stove, it's like this rectangular stove, as the Bar Tanur explains, you'd have two pots that you could place on them with a fire burning beneath them, a typical kind of a stove situation. So you have this Kira, and it was heated, if it was heated with either straw or with chips of wood, says the Mishnah, no snim aleha tafshil, you're allowed to put a cooked food on it on Friday, and you can let it remain there until, on Shabbos, even when Shabbos begins. And the reason why this is permitted is because straw and chips of wood burn too quickly to form coals. And if there's not going to be coals, then we're not concerned that people's going to stir them. No one's going to stir them. And therefore, you're allowed to have a kira that's being fueled by straw or chips of wood. However, says the Mishnah, begefes uve etzim, if the stove was heated with either pulp, which again is like the residue of either olives or sesame and so on after the juice has been squeezed out. So if the stove was heated either with pulp or uve etzim, or with large pieces of wood, both of these items with pulp and large pieces of wood do form coals, says the Mishnah, lo yitain, one may not place cooked foods upon it before Shabbos and leave it there because we're concerned that a person on Shabbos is going to come and stir the coal, which would be an iser midda araisa, which would be part of this malacha of havara, of burning a fire on Shabbos. However, says the Mishnah, ad sheyigrof o ad sheyitain es ha'efer, that using a stove heated with either pulp or these big pieces of wood is prohibited, is only usur, is prohibited unless before Shabbos he shovels out the coals, right? So if he removes the coals from the stove or he places ash over the coals, then it would be permitted to use this kira that is being fueled, that is being heated by pulp or by large pieces of wood. So again, everyone says that you're allowed to use this the straw or small chips of wood because that's not going to form coals. And then the Mishnah says that if you have a situation where you either have pulp or large pieces of wood, so there are going to form coals, but if you remove the coals before Shabbos begins, or you cover up the coals before Shabbos begins, then you're allowed to put cooked food on those on the stove that is being fueled by those items. Now we're going to see, as we continue in the Mishnah Machlokas Tanoim, regarding what type of cooked foods may you leave on a Kira stove before Shabbos, even if its coals have been removed or have been covered. It says the Mishnah Beishamai says, Chamin avalo tafshil. So you're allowed to place hot water on the stove with the coals that are covered up, but not cooked food. Why would that be? Because even after the coals have been shoveled away and removed, there may be some embers, some pieces of the coal that remain. And Beis Shammai is concerned that one might stir them, and that's still a concern. Therefore, even in this case, Beis Shammai forbid leaving cooked foods on the stove. So Beis Shammai disagrees with the previous part of the Mishnah. However, Beis Shammai would agree that one may leave hot water on the stove. This is because water heats up quickly, and if it becomes hot, and one's not going to stir the embers if it's hot water, which is going to be very, very hot. So there's no concern according to Beis Shammai when it comes to hot water, but even regular food, putting the regular food on this, on a kira that's being fueled by pulp or large pieces of wood, even if you cover up the coals, it's still going to be a problem of stirring the coals on Shabbos. However, Beis Shammai says, no, chamin v'tavshil, we may place both hot water and cook food on a kira with the coals covered up, because he's not concerned. He assumes that since the coals have either been removed or the person has deliberately cooled them off, Beis Hillel permits leaving even cooked foods on the stove. Now we're just going to finish off the Mishnah with another machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding using kira stove whose coals have been removed or have been covered up. Now this machlokas is going to be regarding specifically a cooked item that one left on the stove, either according to Beis Shammai that's referring only to hot water, or according to Beis Hillel that's referring to hot water or cooked food. The question is whether or not after removing the item from the stove on Shabbos, are you allowed to do what's called hachzara? Can you return it back to the stove on Shabbos itself? Says the Mishnah, Beis Shammai says, notlin of a lo machzirin, you're allowed to remove it from the stove, but you're not allowed to put it back, says Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai rules that once a person removes the hot water from the stove on Shabbos, he may not put it back because he would thereby give the appearance of cooking on Shabbos. That if you're putting back on the stove, then it looks like you're cooking on Shabbos, which is certainly not allowed. Beis Hillel, Beis Hillel, no, af machzirin, that you can even return it, you can even put it back. According to Beis Hillel, one may return the removed food to the stove because, in their opinion, putting food back does not appear like cooking. However, and very, very important point that the Bar Tanura points out, and this is how he paskin as well, this is true only if the person kept holding the food the entire time it was off the stove. Once he puts it down, either on a table or on a chair, whatever the case may be, Beis Hillel would agree that he may no longer put it back on the stove because he would indeed give off the impression that he is cooking. Quick review. We began with Perek Beis Mishnah Zion, which told us that there are three things that a person should remind his household on Erev Shabbos. Number one, have you taken Trumas and Maasros? Number two, did you do the Erev Chatzeros that we need before Shabbos? And number three is, did you light the Shabbos candles? But then we said, what about the period of Bein HaShemashos? This Suffolk period, is it day, is it night? So we said that during that period of time, you're not allowed to take Trumas or Maasros from definite Tevel, that's the Araisa. You can't immerse your utensils in a mikvah to purify them on Erev Sha'an during Bein HaShemashos as well. And you're certainly not to light your candles as well. Your Neiro Shabbos, you certainly can't do during Bein HaShemashos because that's an Isser D'Araisa. The lighting of flame is an Isser D'Araisa, and you can't do any Torah prohibitions during Bein HaShemashos. However, says the Mishnah, anything that's mid-Darabanan, separating Maaseh from Demai, which is only Darabanan, which is again is a doubt whether Trumas or Maaseros were separated. Or you're certainly allowed to make an Erev Chatzeros as well during Bein HaShemashos, and you're allowed to insulate your half food as well because that's only Gezeira mid-Darabanan that someone's going to come to cook it, and that's not really a concern on during this period of Bein HaShemashos. And then Perek Gimel Mishnah Aleph began discussing the halachos of heating up food on Shabbos. We said that there's a concern that if there are coals that are fueling a fire, then a person might come to stir them, which is an Issur D'Araisa, a Torah prohibition on Shabbos itself. So we said that if the kira, if the oven, if the stove is being fueled by a straw or chips of wood, then you're certainly allowed to do it because there are no coals there and there's nothing to stir, and therefore there's no issue with that type of fueling. However, if it's being fueled by either pulp or large pieces of wood, both of which do form coals, then you're not allowed to place cooked food there before Shabbos and leave it there because we're concerned that a person might come to stir the coals under the Mila, which would be Havar, which would be like burning a flame on Shabbos itself. However, said the Mishnah, what if you have a situation where you shovel the coals off before Shabbos, or you replace them, or you cover them up and so on with ash and so on, what would be the halacha then? So according to Beis Shammai, you're allowed to put hot water on top of that if you cover up the coals, but you're not allowed to put regular cooked food on top of that, because we're still concerned that a person might come, there are going to be embers there that a person could still theoretically stir, and therefore, says Beis Shammai, you're not allowed to put cooked food, even if the coals are covered up, but you can't put up hot water, because the hot water is going to heat up very, very quickly anyway. And a person's, we're not concerned that a person's going to stir the coals. But he still says, no, you can even put on cooked food, because at the end of the day, if you're putting on cooked food, we're not concerned that you're going to stir them when you intentionally covered up the majority of the coals that were there. And then the Mishnah concluded with another machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. What if you do cover up the coals, and then according to Beis Shammai, you're putting on it, you're allowed to put hot water, according to Beis Hillel, you're allowed to even put cooked food, are you allowed to return them? So Beis Shammai says, once you take them off the kira, off the stove, you cannot put it back. According to Beis Hillel, you can put it back as long as you maintain a connection, you keep holding on to the cooked food. Have a great day.